Welcome back to The Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Back in 2020, when a global pandemic was infecting and killing the human population, birds were dealing with a deadly outbreak as well, botulism. And now it's back in the Klamath Basin, killing hundreds of thousands of birds. Two organizations, Ducks Unlimited and Bird Ally X, have partnered to open a duck hospital that's receiving at least 50 new patients a day. You can send your questions and comments to jx@jeffnet.org. Joining The Exchange to help us learn more is Amelia Raquel, a regional biologist with Ducks Unlimited. Welcome, Amelia.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And also joining us is Marie Travers, co-director at Bird Ally X. Welcome.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I appreciate you both for joining The Exchange. Amelia, let's start with your background and the work you do at Ducks Unlimited.
Sure. So I'm a regional biologist for Ducks Unlimited. I cover the Klamath Basin, Northeastern California, and the state of Nevada. And I'm primarily responsible for our on-the-ground habitat delivery projects. So I work with a team of engineers and environmental compliance staff. And so we are actually the ones kind of turning dirt on the ground and doing wetland improvement projects.
So I'm interested, how long have you been doing this and how did you get interested in doing it?
I have been with DU for 6 years now. Before that, I was with a subsidiary of the Nature Conservancy in the Sacramento San Joaquin Delta for about a year and a half. I have a master's degree in biology with a focus on waterfowl population ecology, and I grew up hunting with my dad in the Sacramento San Joaquin Delta, and he was also a biologist for the state of California. So I've just kind of been around it my whole life.
Got it. So it's in your blood.
Yep.
Marie, how did you get involved with Bird Ally X, and what's your background?
I've been a wildlife rehabilitator for about 23 years and been a co-founder of Bird Ally X. We started, I believe it's 2010. So, and I co-manage this project, taking care of the botulism-affected birds with my partner, January Bill. So we've been doing this since 2018 here on the refuge.
So, Marie, I saw a very helpful graphic on the Bird Ally X website. It was about the cycle of a botulism outbreak. Can you talk about botulism and what's that cycle?
So botulism is a toxin that's produced by bacteria. In order for the toxin to be produced, it requires a certain environment, and that is generally an anaerobic environment, and warm weather is also favored by the toxin. So conditions that we have on the refuge now where there's not much water being delivered and the water's not moving helps with that. And then what happens is that birds concentrate, you know, when there's not much water on the refuge, the birds concentrate in the areas where there are, where there is water, and they're more likely to encounter the toxin. And as the birds, you know, are paralyzed and from the toxin, they can get into the water and drown and unfortunately pass away that way. And what happens is, flies lay eggs on there and maggots form, and other ducks that come to those small pockets of water feed on the maggots because they do eat, you know, a lot of insects. So the toxin is concentrated in the maggots, and then it affects, you know, it sort of explodes. It affects more and more birds. So that's it in a nutshell.
So where is this outbreak geographically?
That would probably be a better question for Amelia. We're sort of, it's on the Lower Klamath National Wildlife Refuge, but I couldn't tell you exactly what unit or area.
So Amelia, can you talk about the process? Where is it located geographically, and this process of identifying sick birds and then healing them and restoring them?
Sure. So, the botulism outbreak is on Simplon A at the Tule Lake National Wildlife Refuge right now. And so refuge staff are on airboats, and so they go out every morning and they, you know, assess the situation. I believe they collect the live birds first and take them to the duck hospital where Maria is working, and then they'll go out later and then collect any dead carcasses, because part of one of the preventative measures is to remove those carcasses so you're not kind of proliferating that maggot carcass cycle.
Okay, so you mentioned duck hospital. So that's a new term for most people, including myself. So someone help me understand, what is a duck hospital and what does it look like?
I can help with that.
We have
since 2018, we've been working, our duck hospital is pretty primitive. We work out of pretty much a maintenance shed here on the refuge in the maintenance yard. But we've been able to, over the years, equip it with a lot of different equipment that helps us provide the animals with supportive care. So just like, you know, in a human hospital, although a lot less sanitary, we have a lot of medical equipment and we're able to, you know, give birds fluids and, you know, one of the most important components of our treatment is providing them with places to swim so that they can accelerate, you know, their recovery by hydrating and being in a more familiar and stress-free environment.
So what are the symptoms that let you know a bird is infected, and how do you count them?
The birds are, the biologists are able to identify the birds in the field that have botulism because they become paralyzed. It's an ascending paralysis, which means that it starts with their legs and feet and then moves up towards their head. So one of the first things that the biologists would see out in the field would be birds that aren't able to walk. And if the birds are in the water, they would, you know, have a more difficult time swimming and, you know, diving. And at the later stages of the they wouldn't be able to hold up their necks because they would be paralyzed and, you know, their heads would fall into the water. So
that should be pretty easy to recognize.
Yeah. Any wild bird that, you know, they're able to catch would be, you know, probably a good candidate for treatment.
And it says on your website that you're treating up to 50 birds a day. How many birds are estimated to have been infected?
And you can chime in on this too, Amelia. I've heard 75,000, 80,000.
Yep, that's what I've heard most recently as well.
I'm talking with Amelia Raquel, a regional biologist with Ducks Unlimited, and Marie Travers, co-director at Bird Ally X. Both are leading the effort to quell the outbreak of botulism among birds in the Klamath Basin. So with so many birds infected, it seems like a lot of people are going to be needed in this process of hospitalization, care, and healing. How many people are actually involved?
At our wildlife hospital, we have had probably between 6 and 9 people per day working with us to help support all of the needs of the birds. So we're relying, you know, luckily, because we do have the support from Ducks Unlimited, we've been able to pay people to come and help us. And we also have volunteers and interns that have been here regularly supporting their care.
So, Amelia, talk about this partnership that Ducks Unlimited has with Bird Ally X. How did it come about?
So we recognize the need for the duck hospital, and, you know, Ducks Unlimited is wanting to support waterfowl populations in the basin. And so we worked with Bird Ally X and the Fish and Wildlife Service on this partnership where, you know, we're helping to support the operation at Bird Ally X and let, you know, them take on kind of the overall operations. And Fish and Wildlife Service is also involved just due to kind of their facilities and things like that.
So how long has this partnership been operable?
I think we started maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and we, the Duck Hospital, you know, sets up every year just in anticipation if a botulism outbreak occurs. And then, you know, when it does, ramp up, then, you know, it becomes way more intensive. But we've been working with Birdisle IX for at least 3 or 4 years, I think.
Yep.
And so, Marie, how long is the timeline from a sick bird to a healthy bird?
From the time we get them in care, when they come off the airboats, the general recovery time is around 5 days. You know, every individual is different, but in the ballpark of 5 days, we're able to get them back out into the wild.
So they recover fairly quickly.
They do. We're really lucky.
So what happens if the healed birds go right back out and start eating those maggots and get sick again? How do you prevent that?
We're not able to prevent that because the birds, you know, are going to do what they want. But luckily, we work with the biologists here, and almost all of the ducks are federally banded, so they get a metal ring on their legs. So when and if they are recovered, we are able to tell, you know, where they were found and what they were, you know, sort of the area where they were found. And so far in the, you know, since 2018, we have not had a single duck that was found in an area where botulism was present. So we haven't, and we also have never had a patient, you know, return to us with botulism twice.
Oh, well, so you're pretty successful.
Yeah, and it's, you know, they're probably smart enough to know not to go back to where the bad thing happened.
Right. So you're banding these birds and they're taking off, and it sounds like there's tens of thousands of them out there. Who's managing this? Who's tracking this like an air traffic controller?
The federal bands, you mean, or?
Yes.
It's actually a federal program. Sorry, the name of the organization is escaping me. I'm sure Amelia knows.
Usually it's the Bird Banding Lab, which I think is run by the USGS.
Yeah.
They kind of house all the information of every bird that has a federal metal band on it. So that usually includes where they were banded, generally the age they suspect it was when it was banded, location, species, and then who the bander is, things like that, just general kind of data on the bird.
And they keep a general database on tens of thousands of birds?
Yep. And that includes birds that, you know, have been banded in Canada and elsewhere. So it's continent-wide, I believe.
So you can tell where these birds have come from and where they're going?
Yeah, as long as you recapture them and can read the band. So every band has a unique numerical identifier on it that it, you know, tracks that individual.
So what can the public do to help your operations?
The public can help the Bird Hospital. You know, we're always in need of donations. Right now, since we're hoping to be winding down, you know, we probably are not in need of as many, you know, volunteers to come on site. But, you know, if people are interested in helping and, you know, working with ducks, you know, this is has been kind of a yearly thing with some gaps. But, you know, we'd be happy to take people's information and, you know, join our team in the future. But like I said, donations are always welcome. And we have links on our website.
So is there some sort of training program, or do you teach kids how to do this work?
We don't allow any volunteers younger than 18, mostly for insurance purposes, and we provide on-the-job training.
Gotcha. Well, we've run out of time, so I want to thank you both, Amelia and Marie.
Thank you.
Well, Amelia Raquel is a regional biologist with Ducks Unlimited, and Marie Travers is co-director at Bird Ally X. And that's all the time we have for the exchange today. You can find these conversations and more at jeffexchange.org, or you can subscribe to our shows wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mike Green. Natalie Golay is our senior producer, and Andrew Crackle is engineering our show today. Our theme music is composed by Maxwell and Terry Longshore. Thanks for joining us.